We are holding on.
Okay, we've gone now through
about what each sawyer is. We've gone through Rabbi Huda, who says that of the three that are of the three different types during the year that are brought of korbanos of chatoris tibur that are brought six times chatoris tibur, that is, we're talking about that are brought on the outside mizbeach. One of them, the one of Yom Kippur, is Mechaper on one scenario involving Trumas Nefesh V'Kodshav, the one of Yom Tov and the one of Rosh Chodesh on Mechaper on the other one. We had Reb Shimon who says each one of them is Mechaper for a different case. We had Reb Meir who says that all three of them are Mechaper for the same three cases. Now we're up to Reb Shimon ben Yehuda. We said in the Mishnah Reb Shimon ben Yehuda, I'm a Mishmoy Chula, the fourth opinion.
The last opinion?
The last opinion, yeah. He says in the name of Reb Shimon, but he says a little bit differently than Reb Shimon. That he says that the one of Rosh Chodesh, he agrees with Reb Shimon, takes care of Tahar Sha'achol Hatame, with a person with Tahar, but the meat of the Korban with Tame. He says the one of Yom Tov is that as well as the case where there was no Yediyah B'Tchila and no Yediyah B'Tzayif. And the Sar HaNasa B'Chotiv Yom Kippur is those two, plus also the case where there was no Yediyah B'Tchila, but there was Yediyah B'Tzayif. So each one adds to the other one. So we have to figure out where he gets that from. Why would it be that Rav Shimon ben Yehuda says, why would it be that Rav Shimon ben Yehuda would be saying that the one of Rosh Chodesh is not Mechaper for the same scenario as the Regalim? L'chora, the reason is, because the Pasuk says, which we said yesterday, Avoin, the Pasuk says that the one of Rosh Chodesh is meant to take care of Avoin Ha'edah, Avoin in the singular, implying Avoin Echad who knows Sevein and knows the Shnei Avoinus. It only takes care of one Avoin.
He interprets it differently.
No, well, he interprets it the same as Reb Shimon, but
right.
Was his Rebbe.
Right.
We said before that Reb Shimon explains Avoin to mean only one Avoin, not two. Well, then, Yerugolim Namila, Mechaperah Derosh Echadoshim. Then, in that case, why should we say that the one of the Regalim, why should that be Mechaper on the same one as Rosh Chodesh? Reb Shimon is being consistent. Reb Shimon is saying that each one is Mechaper on a different thing. Why is Reb Shimon ben Yehuda saying the one of Yom Tov is not only Mechaper on the one that Rosh Chodesh is Mechaper on, but also something else? Why should it be? Why should it be Mechaper on the same thing as Rosh Chodesh?
If it's Oven.
Yeah. No, not because of Oven, but Da'amakra, because we had a different limud that we said. We said before that the Pasuk is Oysa. The Pasuk is Oysa Nasan Lachem Losesis Avonah. If the Korban of Rosh Chodesh, Hashem gave it to you to be Mechaper for the Oven of the people, implying Oysa who knows the Oven, Ve'enacha knows the Oven. Implying that only that one of Rosh Chodesh is noise to that particular Avon, not any other one, which was how Reb Shimon said, which is why Reb Shimon had said that the one of Yom Tov can't be the same one as Rosh Chodesh. Because you have the one of Rosh Chodesh can only be one thing because of Avon, and on the other hand, it can only, what it takes care of, nothing, no other korban can take care of because of Osa. So why does Reb Shimon and Yehuda agree with the one drasha about Avon and disagree with the other one about Osa? The answer is Osa. Loy mashmalay. The answer is
Oysa, he says that.
Well, Reb Shimon had said that Oysa is a miut, that only that one of Rosh Chodesh is mechaper on Tumas Basar,
right.
On Tahor Sha'achal Satam.
Right.
He says no other one can do that.
Right.
Why is Reb Shimon Yehuda disagree? What does he do with the word Oysa? The answer is Oysa loy mashmalay. He says that Oysa is not really something to darshan from. He says, how else was the Pasuk supposed to say it? That Moshe is yelling at Elazar and Itamar, why did you burn this korban? It was supposed to be mechaper on the people. How else is he supposed to say it? If not to say oisa, not on machem. So it's a part of the phrase.
In a different way.
Apparently, according to Reb Shimon ben Yehuda, no. So therefore, there's no. Therefore, you can't doubt him. It was just. It was needed for the goof of the pasuk. Okay. Next, Mishnah the Regali. Reb Shimon would say that nevertheless it is. So he would say, okay, it's different ways of understanding what the Pasuk could have said. We have that kind of thing a lot of times, that we have that one Tano, one Amoda will say you have an extra word or an extra phrase or whatever in the Pasuk, and the other one says Dibra Toh Koloshim Rene Adam, or just it had to say it this way because that's how the phrasing goes or whatever, yeah. Okay. Fine. Next, Mishnah the Regalim, Zalei Mechaper Adi Yom Kippurim. Fine, let's figure out like this. Now, what's the difference? Again, according to Reb Shimon Yehuda, we're saying that the Chatas of Regalim of Yom Tovim is not Mechaper on the same thing as the Chatas Achitza in Og Yom Kippur. We know that, namely, in other words, the Chatas Achitza of Yom Kippur takes care of three cases, and the one of Yom Tov only takes care of two. Fine, we know there has to be something special about the Yom Kippur one, the Amakra, because the Pasuk says Achatz Bashana, because we said Achatz Bashana, Kapara Zulay Tehel Achatz Bashana. This Kapara that is accomplished by the Sarah HaChitzen can only be once a year. In that case, Ihochi, Yom Kippurim Namil in the Kapra Adirugalim, well, then the flip side should also be true. The one of Yom Kippur, the Chatzas Hanachas Bachot of Yom Kippur should not be able to be mechaper on the same thing that the regalim do. We should say, like Rabbi Shimon, that each of them is mechaper on a different thing. Dichtiv. Achas, because the pasuk says achas, meaning kapara achas mechaper veinu mechaper shtei kaparis, because it says that it says achas, and we learned before, Rav Shimon had learned that it meant that one of Yom Kippur can only be mechaper one kapara, not two.
And therefore,
so why are we saying that the one of Yom Kippur is mechaper not only on two but on three different things? Why are we saying that it's mechaper on three different things according to Rav Shimon and Yehuda? The sara nasa b'chut is mechaper according to Rav Shimon and Yehuda on three different things. How? What happened to achas? What happened to it not being mechaper more than one? Again, the answer is achas le'mashma. Like, again, he doesn't understand the achas over there to be that kind of meaning. So achas bashana, fine. To say that it's something where this particular kapara can be done only once a year, fine. Because the boss doesn't have to say the phrase achas bashana at all, because we know it's only once a year. But this that we said before, that it didn't have to say achas and it didn't have to say achas bashana, he doesn't hold of that. He doesn't hold to that concept. Again, once it has to say bashana for the drasha, then necessarily it has to say achas together with it. So we're not darshaning something separate from it. It's not quite going to be the same thing. There's going to be a different reason why he says that we can't be. There's going to be a different reason why he says you can't learn from achas. The reason is amai. So why is that? Why doesn't he hold you can learn anything from the word achas? The chik siv achas. Because on what korban is it talking when it says this achas vashana? What korban is it talking about? The sorer hanasa b'chnimksi. It's talking about the sorer whose blood is brought into the kodesh on the kodesh hakadoshim, not the sorer hanasa b'chutz. So Rav Shimon Yehuda says why? So before we said okay, there's a hekish between the seirim. We said that the milavav chatas akiporim. Rav Shimon Yehuda doesn't have to hold of that hekish. So therefore, there's no reason to apply what it says by one to the other. Okay, the question is, by that logic, then you should say, we just argued that Rav Shimon Yehuda has to agree that the one of the regalim is not mechaper on all the same things that the one that the Sur Anasa B'chutz of Yom Kippur is mechaper on, because we said because it says Achas Bashana, implying whatever the Yom Kippur one accomplishes is only once a year, but again, you have the same problem. If we're saying that the Achas Bashana is talking about the Sur whose blood is brought into the Kodesh and sprinkled on the Mizbeach HaZahav, then why are we using that pasuk to limit what the chatas of regalim can accomplish, and not using it to accomplish what the sur hanasa b'chutz of Yom Kippur can accomplish? We're not being consistent. The answer is la'olam achas mashmalay. No, never mind the answer from before. It's true. We reject that. He does in fact accept the limud from the word achas, but the shiny hacha. But it's different when it comes to the sur hanasa b'chnim. It's different when it comes to the sur hanasa b'chutz. Sorry, that if we're going to limit the one of the chitza, and we're not going to on the basis of another pasuk, the amakra, because, or not another pasuk, but the same pasuk, the whole context of the pasuk. The pasuk is the chiper Aaron al karnos of achas bashana. The pasuk says Aaron will accomplish kapara on its horns, meaning the horns of the mizbeach apnimi, once a year, by applying the blood. Therefore, Reb Shimon ben Yehuda says we have to focus on the word karnos. The pasuk evidently is trying to imply that when it comes to the sur whose blood is placed on the inner mizbeach, that's the one where it only accomplishes one kapara, not two. Which, as we said before, it only accomplishes for the case where there was yediyah b'tchila and not yediyah b'soif, and not even mechaper, but only tolah. But not the one b'chutz, right. Implying that the one that's brought b'chutz after the shtei kaparis can apply even two or even three. So therefore he says that, so yes, of course we use the word achas. So therefore we do use the word achas bashana to limit what the one of the chatas of yomtiv of regalim is able to do. But we can't use it to limit what the chatas what the sur hanasa b'chutz does, because the pasuk is telling us that miut only applies to the sur hanasa b'fnim, not the sur hanasa b'chutz.
So that explains the Shimon.
So now that we've gone through all four opinions, now we're going to go on to a different topic, which eventually is going to circle back to our Mishnah. This is, so now we mentioned in the Mishnah that they asked Reb Shimon, and later in the Mishnah also they asked Reb Shimon Yehuda, if you're saying that each of these three chatois the Sar HaNasa B'chutz and the one of Regolim and the one of Rosh Chodesh, if each one accomplishes a different kapara or a different set of kaparas, if you were to lose it, are you able, and then you find it, you lose the one on Yom Kippur, for example, and you don't find it until Sukkot, are you able to bring it as the chatas of Sukkot or not? And Rav Shimon, and later Rav Shimon Yehuda says yes, and they asked him why, if each one is a different kapara, and he says, after all, it's under the same general heading of Tumas Mikdash V'Kadshim.
So he's changing.
No, he's not changing. He's saying it's true. They're all dealing with different scenarios within that, but it's still the same. It's still the same Indian. It's still the same. They're still being machaper on the same concept of Tumas Mikdash V'Kadshim, just that there's different scenarios within. So now the Gemara is going to start a discussion on this whole concept of when you have an animal that was supposed to be used for a korban, what can you do with it if it wasn't brought as that korban? And eventually we're going to use this discussion from our Mishnah as a proof in the course of that.
As a proof of what?
As a proof to figure out what we do when we have an animal like this that was supposed to be used for a korban, what can you do with it? So that's how this sugya comes in over here. We're going to...
In Pesachim, but we said if we don't use it, we leave it.
So it depends. There's different kinds of korbanos. When it comes to so with a chatas, there's a halacha of Moshe Mitzinai. We'll learn about the details of it in Tzmura. That in five cases it has to be left to die. There's five chataris amesis. With an osham, we said it's left to pasture to graze until it develops a mum. Yes, with many other korbanos, that's the case also. You leave them to graze until they develop a mum. Indeed, the Gemara talks about that, not just in Pesachim, but in a lot of other places as well. So now we're going to be dealing more with the discussion of what if they're tmimim, what if they haven't developed a mum, what can we do with them? Mm-hmm. So now again, we're starting the sugya here on Yud Amud Beis. Later on, much later in the sugya, we're going to get back to our Mishnah and discuss how we can make something that we said in the course of the discussion fit with what Rav Shimon says here in the Mishnah.
So it has a bearing, basically.
So that's how it has a bearing. In other words, we're starting here on Yud Amud Beis, and by the time we get to the bottom of Yud Aleph Amud Beis, we'll have brought in our Mishnah in the course of the discussion. A lot of times we have that. We have sugyas like that in the Gemara. We have a sugya that in and of itself doesn't belong in a certain place in the Gemara, but because of because the current Mishnah or whatever is brought as a question or a support or whatever, then it's, yeah. Okay. So the discussion starts like this. Oma Ula Amar Rav Yechon. Tmidin shalei hutzru chulat tzibur. If you have animals for the korban tamid that were not needed by the tzibur. Now, what's the case where they're not needed by the tzibur? So Rashi explains as follows. We know that the Beis Mikdash has a fiscal year that runs from Rosh Chodesh Nissan to Rosh Chodesh Nissan. Every year, beginning Rosh Chodesh Nissan, they have to start buying the korbanos and the other things that they're going to be using from the shkolim that came that year, right, that they start using them Rosh Chodesh Nissan. You're not supposed to use them. You're not supposed to use them from the previous year. So now Rashi
gets the money in Adar.
They get the money is collected in Adar, and then by Nissan already, they have some of it. I mean, they don't have all of it necessarily because they're faraway countries where it doesn't come until sometime in the middle of the summer or whatever. But at least from Eretz Yisrael, from the neighboring areas, yeah, they have it during Adar. Yeah. Okay. Now Rashi also points out, based on a Mishnah in Erechin, that you always have to have ready. For the korban tamid, you always have to have ready at least six sheep in the lishkas haploim, in the chamber where they kept the sheep. Basically, the reason comes down to, the Gemara explains over there, it comes down to the fact that the animals have to be checked for mumim for a minimum of 4 days before they're brought to the korban. So therefore, you'll buy a bunch of animals, for example, you'll buy a bunch of them on Sunday, and then you'll use two of them for the tamid in the morning and in the afternoon on you have to be mevaker them for 4 days. So Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you'll bring them, you'll first be using from those animals on Thursday, then the next one's on Friday, and the next one's on Shabbos, etc. But meanwhile they have to be replenished. So you have a minimum always of six in there. So what happens now at the end of the year comes Choftes Adar.
It's almost a week ahead of that.
Yeah. So what happens? Comes Choftes Adar. Well no, six of them means 3 days worth of korban.
Two tamidim
a day. So now, like this, comes the end of the year, comes Choftes Adar. They still have to have the minimum of six sheep over there. Two of them are going to be brought, one for the Talmud in the morning on Choftes Adar, the other in the afternoon. What's going to happen with the other four that are there? Comes Rosh Chodesh Nissan, the new fiscal year begins. You can't be using these, which were bought with last year's Truma.
So what do you do with them?
That's the question. tmidim shleihutz ruchul tzibur. So here you have a scenario where you have tmidim that were not needed by the tzibur, not in the sense they're not needed at all. They may eventually be needed for karbonis. They were designated this past year, but now it's already the new year. They would have to be rebought with new money. How do you do that? Niftin tmimim. So fine, you can be paid to them, you can redeem them even while they're tamid. So what do you do? In other words, you take money of chulin, you buy the animals from Hekdesh using that money. You take that money and it goes to...
So they're not Hekdesh anymore.
So that therefore they become no longer Hekdesh. Now usually that wouldn't be the rule. Usually an animal that was meant for a korban, that's a tamim, can't be redeemed. Not that, but it can't be redeemed while it's a tamim. Usually, like you were saying just before, you would have to wait until it develops a mum, and then you could be part of it. Here, that we're saying that you can be part of them while they're talking is an unusual thing. So Rashi explains, what you do to be exact is like this. You mechalo them on Mois Cholin, then the money is placed into what's called Moser HaTruma Yishana, which what you do is, then the Mishnah and Shkolim, there's a couple of different opinions, what you do with it, the halacha is what you do is you take that money and you save it up to buy gold plate, to buy gold plating that will be used for the Kodesh HaKadoshim.
What do you have to do with gold plates?
The Kodesh HaKadoshim should be a beautiful spot. Yeah, eventually maybe the old ones wear out or whatever if you didn't have any yet, then whatever. You'd like this. It's a mitzvah to beautify the Beis HaMikdash as much as possible. This is what they would use. For that purpose, they would use this kind of money that was used for buying back these extra things. Then, once these animals are chulin, then fine, we take this New Year's Maksa Shekels, beginning now Rosh Chodesh Nissan, we buy those animals back with the new Maksa Shekel of this year, and good, now we have four animals available for the Karbanos of the next couple of days.
So we exchange them for money, and then we
rebuy. And then we rebuy them back for money. Yosef Rabba Kamal al-Hashmai. Just a Rabba one time was sitting and saying over this, was sitting over and saying this din, this discussion that we just started. Rav Chista says to Rabba, "Man sayis loch, Rav Yechanan Rabba. Who's going to listen to you and your Rebbe, Rav Yechanan? In other words, how is it possible that din could possibly be correct? After all, where did the kedusha of these things go? They didn't just have kedusha as domim. These things didn't just have kedusha as in kodesh bedekah bayis, where they're not intrinsically kodesh themselves. It's just they're going to be sold, and the money of them is supposed to be used
they
towards
really kodesh.
They themselves were kodesh. They were in line to be brought as korbanos. How are you allowed to be part of them for money, with or without a mum? So obviously, it can't possibly be right." Omale, the Rabbi answers back to him, Achle Tisbura, so what are you, and you don't hold the Le'amin Kedusha Shebehen Lahechan Ocha, so what, you don't hold that when it comes to Korbanos Tzibur is a different thing, that you can indeed, that we don't say that concept, and we are able to be part of the things that would have been part of the Korbanos Tzibur, that Korbanos Tzibur, in other words, are different in that regard than Korbanos Yachid.
You cannot exchange.
If I designate an animal as an oil or shlomim or what have you, there's no question. I can't be poided as long as it's a tummy. I have to wait till it develops a moon.
But
if it's a karbonis tibur, Ula is saying in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, and Rabba is quoting Rabbi Yechanan to the effect that with karbonis tibur is different. So Rav Chista is arguing, how is that possible? So Rabba tells him, I'll prove to you from a Mishnah that there is in fact that distinction. I can find you an example where you have something that was meant to be for a korban tzibur, and it can be redeemed without it developing a mum or any kind of soul. Namely, v'hotznan, we learn in a Mishnah in Shkolin as follows. Moser ha-ketores, mahayor. What do they do with the leftover ketores? So again, Rashi explains the same problem. Basically, you have ketores that was made, that was produced last year using money of Truma Yeshana of last year.
Sure,
we're going to deal with that. But right now, we're assuming that the ketores, after all, is brought on the Mizbeach on the basis of that. We'll get to that. But wait. Okay. So Moser ha-ketores, so Mahoyu Oisimba, what would they do with it to make it kosher for the following year? Now, Rashi explains like this. How is it certain that we have Moser HaKtoros? So we say every day in Pitcham HaKtoros Kesad, we say they made 368 monim. Then there was 365 for the year, and then three extra. Well, it wasn't the whole three weren't extra for Yom Kippur. What it is the Kohen Gadol would take a double handful of it and bring it into the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom Kippur. Now, the reason why they had three monim is in case the Kohen Gadol has gigantic hands, he may end up using most of it, or all of it even. But if he had normal size hands, he's not going to hold three monim. There would usually be extra.
That's what we're talking about.
That's the most extra that we're talking about. So that's what we have.
Tosfos,
by the way, mentions there's something else also. You don't even need that. Just the fact that we say that you make 368 monim per year, where 365 are meant for the ketores of every day, A regular year doesn't have 365 days. A regular year of 12 lunar months is 354 days or 355 days, whatever. So every year you're going to have less. Every year you're going to have, and besides for what's left over from Yom Kippur, inevitably you're going to have left 10 or 11 mana of the in Ibru Yar, and you want an Ibru Yar, and it'll be made up for. But still, you're going to have.
You don't spend a day in two.
The point being, in other words, Tosfos is explaining, let's say, for example, so you have, let's say, you know, we began, or we're in the current Masechet Katan, this is the second year of a Masechet Katan. So let's say Rosh Chodesh Nisan Tavshin Ayin Vav, so now a year and a half ago, is when they made the new batch of Ketores, 365 mana for the 365 days a year. Came Rosh Chodesh Nisan Ayin Zayin, they had 11 mana left, so there were only 354 days in a year. They made a new batch of Rosh Chodesh Nisan Ayin Zayin. It lasts sort of Shodesh Nissan Ayin Tet. Same thing. They're going to have another 11 extra left over. Fine. Ultimately, you're going to have eventually Tavshin Ayin Tet is going to be an Ibru Yar, and then they'll end up using those extra amounts during that extra month. Nevertheless, though, during regular years, you still have 10 or 11 mana left over, aside from the 2.5 or so mana that you have left over after the Kohen Gadol scoops out the double handful.
I bet you could keep them until the Ibru Yar.
The point is, how can you do it from year to year? Again, you're not really, you can't bring Kavanis from one year using last year's funds. You have the same problem. So what do you do in order to make it usable? And by the way, this is also what we mentioned in Pitcher Makhtaris. We say that Tanya Rav Nosson, not Rav Nosson, Tanya Bakaparo, that we say every 60 or 70 years they only have to make half the normal quantity of Makhtaris, because over the years, those two and a half mana ever that are left over every year from what the Kohen Gadol scooped out from, gradually it accumulates until you get to the point where you have 184 mana, which is half the normal thing, and then that year they make only a half-size batch. Anyway. The point is that, again, you want to be able to use that remaining Keteris. You want to be able to use it to burn on the Mizbeach, but it was made, it was bought with last year's money, so you can't do that. So what do? So Mahayoisin, Mafrishin Mimena Schar Omnin, what we do is as follows. We separate out the pay for the Omnin, for the craftsman. Rashi explains, we're talking about over here, the craftsman, the ones who actually made the Keteris. They have to be paid. Hold on. Rashi says what we do is we take money from Truma Halishka. And what we do is we take money from Truma Halishka, the amount equal to the amount we're supposed to be paying them. Wait, let's learn the words of the Mishnah first, and then we'll talk about there's a couple of different explanations among the Rishonim what exactly we're doing over here. Mafrishin and Menascharom, then we separate out from Truma Halishka, according to Rashi, we separate out the amount of money that the Umnin are supposed to be paid, or Mechal and Oysa Moisa Umnin. Then what we do is we Mechal that money from Truma Halishka on the schar that is supposed to go to the Umnin, meaning Rashi says what we do is we take the money that we took from Truma Halishka, we have one of the Gizborim give it to the Umnin, and thereby make it Cholin. The Gizbor is taking it out of Hekdesh and giving it to the craftsmen. The Umnin are the people who make the Keteris. The Beit HaKnesses over there, they're the people, the experts over there making the Keteris. They had to be paid, yeah. And then we give that money to the Umnin as their pay. And what we do is now that we have Chulin money over there, now we can be Mechalol the Keteris on that money. So now we give it, meaning the remaining Keteris, the remaining 10 or 11 or 3 or whatever it is, mana of Keteris to the Umnin, that itself we give them as their pay. So now we sell that Keteris to them in return for the money that we just gave them. The reason is, Rashi explains, the reason why we don't just sell it on the open market, the fact is we don't want to make it a public thing, a public spectacle, that we're selling the Keteris and rebuying it. It would cheapen the Beis Hamikdash in people's eyes. Like this, we do it as a private transaction. Now that we sold it to them, now that it's Chulin, V'chozin V'lodik Tenosim V'trum L'chadosha. Now we rebuy that Keteris back from them using this year's money. So that's how Rashi explains the details over here. Tosfos explains that somewhat differently, that what it means is all we have to do is separate out the money and immediately it becomes Cholin. We're going to have a concept later on in the sugya called Lev Beistin, Mas Na'aleh, and that Beistin is able to make a Tnai in advance on whatever is not needed for the Korbanos, that'll become Cholin, so they're able to do this. They're able to be Masna, that this money should become Cholin just on their say-so.
When they get it.
As soon as that money that's taken out of the Trumas Halishka, that's taken out of the Masna Shekel, and that's needed to pay the Umnin, can be just given it to them and immediately it becomes Cholin. There's also there's different other explanations. The Rimigash explains that what we did is, to begin with, we took the actual remaining Keteris and gave it to the Umnin. That itself we gave to the Umnin. We didn't do the whole thing with first separating out money and then selling them the Keteris and then buying it back. We give them the Keteris itself, add an amount of the Keteris equivalent to their pay. We give them that, and then we buy it back from them with the new Tirumas HaLishka.
The same.
Yeah, it could be in the same minute. It could be a minute later, whatever. The point is that now it's been bought with this year's funds, and therefore we're good. Okay. The question is, Vamai. Now Rava says to Rechista, so why? You're going to ask, name a kedusha shaban leichen ocho. You could ask the same question as you just asked on me and on Rabbi Yochanan. Kedusha shaban leichen ocho. This is ketores, which is perfectly usable. Nothing happened to it. It didn't become tomei or pasul or what have you. And yet you're telling me that you're able to take it and sell it and then sell it to the umnin and buy it back from them, etc. Why shouldn't we be able to say the same thing with the four remaining animals for the carbon tummy?
It's different.
Why should it go? Amalei, sort of, his answer is there is in fact a difference. Keteris kamaris. You're talking about a case involving keteris. That's different. Shiny keteris. Kedushas domim. Keteris is different, Rav Chisda argues. Keteris has kedushas domim.
We said it didn't before.
So we thought to say that we figured to say that it's that we figured to say that it's kedushas aguf.
But it
because we figured to say that it's kedushas aguf. Now at this point in the argument, Rav Chisda is arguing that no, it only has kedushas domim. It was bought with the Tirumas HaLishka. But okay, so here's the key thing. Rashi explains. Now again, there are a few different ways of explaining it among the Rishonim, but Rashi explains the point is like this. You have the keteris. So they, in order to make the Keteris, they put it in a mortar, they put it in machteshes, like we say. They put all the spices in a mortar and they grind them together. That mortar, Rashi explains, is not a kli shadus. Only once something that's going to be offered on the Mizbeach is placed in a kli shadus, not an animal, of course, an animal is not placed in a kli shadus, but when it comes to menachos, for example, when it comes to other inanimate objects that are going to be brought on the Mizbeach, they only get kedushas aguf when they're placed in a kli shadus. So the Keteris, when it's placed eventually into a bozach, into the spoon which is going to be brought in, to the that's a kli shadus, then it has kedushas aguf. Up until that point, it only has kedushas domim, says Rav Chisda. So therefore, of course, you can sell it. Well, we're going to see. The question is, but so far, that's what Rav Chisda says, that therefore I have no problem. Of course, I have no problem in selling it to the umnin and buying it back from them, etc. No different than any other kachib. No different than any other kachib that is a bai, which have only kedushas domim and not kedushas aguf.
But it acquires kedushas domim before it's in the.
It acquires kedushas domim when Hekdesh bought the spices and then it still retains kedushas domim after they ground it. But only when they take each day's portion and put it into a kli shadus, only then does it get kedushas aguf. Okay, the question is, Elamai Asal, is it possible to vote? Fine, by that logic, then, you should argue that the Keteris is not able to be possible if a Tvulyoim touches it. Because if it doesn't have Kedushas Damim yet, if it only has Kedushas Damim, then it doesn't have that level of Kedusha yet, that a Tvulyoim. Alama Tanya, so why in that case do we have a braisa that says Nitna Mamachteshes, once the Keteris is placed into the mortar to be ground, Nipselas. The mortar is not a kli shadus. Nifselas b'tvulyoim. At that point, it becomes possible if tvulyoim touches it. If it's only kedushas domim, why would it become possible from a tvulyoim? V'chitema, so you might answer, why not? Kol kedushas domim mifseli b'tvulyoim. You might argue, so what? Sure, anything that has kedushas domim can be possible with a tvulyoim. Now, we're not going to say anything that has kedushas domim. Period, because of course we know that's not true. But what we mean is. Well, you know, kedushas domim, I mean, for example, a person can be menad of anything they want to the bedek abayis. A person can be menad of gold, let's say, to the bedek abayis. And fine, the hekdesh goes and then uses that gold either directly for repairs to the bais hamikdash, for beautifying the bais hamikdash, or they sell it for something else that they need or whatever. Sure, if a tevul yom touches it, it doesn't cause any trouble with it.
It doesn't become tummy?
No, well, okay, maybe gold's not a good example because a tevul yom wouldn't make a tummy. But okay, let's say you're menad of food to the bedek abayis. Let's say you bought a pizza and you decided to be menad of it to bedek abayis. They're going to go find somebody else who wants to buy that pizza and they'll use the money for bedek abayis. Tevul yom touches it, of course, it isn't a problem.
What about spices?
Well, so 1 second. The vort is, you're showing him say, when the Gemara is asking that, you might argue that Kedushas Domim can become possible to Boyoim. We're talking about a case like this with the Keteris, Kedushas Domim that is eventually going to become Kedushas Aguf.
Right.
You buy a pizza and omenad of it to the Bedek Abayis, it's never going to become Kedushas Aguf. Pizza is never going to be brought on the Mizbeach. But spices will, because they are going to be ground into the ketodos and made into,
therefore,
and therefore on the face of it, maybe we should argue that even though it doesn't have kedushas like book yet, it's only in the makteshes at this point,
right.
Maybe still it should be able to, the whole concept of a tour, yeah, and passeling things by touching them is pretty much only dirabanan, yeah. Okay. V'hotnan, but no, because we learn in a Mishnah, Hamenachos, when it comes to a Kogan Mincha, Moilin Behen Mishu Hukdushu, Me'ila applies to them once they're made Kaddish, because even Kedushas, even something that has only Kedushas Damim, Me'ila applies it. So at that point, if you were to deliberately go and eat that Mincha, for example, this is before it even went into a Kli Shari, this is once it was designated as a Mincha, you'd be Chayiv Malkos, and if you did it for Shogig, you'd be Chayiv to repay
Hek.
Even though it has no Kedushas Aguf, only Kedushas Damim.
Hold on.
We haven't finished the Mishnah yet. Kodshu B'Kli, only once they become Kodesh by being placed in a Kli Shoreis, Hukshuru, now they become Kosher, in the sense now they have their full Kedusha, now they have Kedushas Aguf. Lipasal B'Tvulyayim, that they become possible if a Tvulyayim touches it. Over Mechus Kippurim, or from Mechus Kippurim, meaning a Zava, Yoldus, whatever, who haven't yet brought their korbanos, that if they touch it, they also make it possible, over lina, and also that it becomes possible if it's left overnight. Anything that's placed in a kli shoreis becomes possible if it's left overnight. So, in fine, kodshu b'kli ein, like kodshu b'kli loy. So we see from that Mishnah that only if it was actually in a kli shoreis is it possible by a tvulyayim touching it, or all these other things. If not, then not. So therefore, back to our ketodos over here. The ketodos, as long as it is in the machteshes, as long as it's in the mortar where it was ground, which is not a kli shoreis, as we said before, then it shouldn't be possible by a tvulyayim. So and yet we said it a braisa that it is possible by a tvulyayim. So why?
And therefore
so obviously it must be Kedushas Aguf. It must be that we have to say that no, maybe the Machteshes is a Kli Shoreis, and therefore the Ketoreis has Kedushas Aguf, and therefore you're back to the question. Then Rabba has a valid point against your Chista. You're telling me that you can't take animals that are Tomim and redeem them because Kedushas Shabbat Leichan Ocha. But if you're going to say the Ketoreis has Kedushas Aguf, the same thing should apply, and yet we saw from the Mishnah in Shkolim that it's not. Elamai, so the Gemara answers back. So what are you going to say? Kedushas Agufi. So what are you going to argue then? According to your logic, you're going to argue that the Ketoreis, even while it's in the Machteshes, before each day's portion is placed in the Kli Shoreis, you're arguing that it has Kedushas Aguf.
From this case.
From the based on what we just said, that we see that once it's in the Machteshes, somebody it's Vulyayim touches it, it becomes possible. Where we said that only applies to things that have Kedushas Aguf. Well, by your logic, you should have to say that ketodos should be possible by lina. The fact is, you make a whole year's supply of ketodos at once. You should say it doesn't work. You'd have to make each day individually.
How do you compare lina to?
Because the fact is, the same concept of kedushas aguf applies. The fact that it's possible by tvulyayim touching it, and the fact that it becomes possible lina, both of those apply only to things that have kedushas aguf. Yeah. So just like we said by Mincha, only once it's placed in a Kli Shoreis, only at that point does it get Kedushas Aguf, only at that point if a Tevulyayim touches it, he'll passel it, and only at that point will it become possible by Lina.
And here we see
by the Ketoreis, we seem to have a divided thing. On the one hand, we're saying that a Tevulyayim touches it, it's possible even before it goes into the Kli Shoreis, implying at that point it has Kedushas Aguf. On the other hand, the fact is, we seem to make a whole year's supply of it and it doesn't become possible by Lina. So it's contradictory, yeah. So why is it instead we learn in a Mishnah in Me'ila, the koimet, the handful of the mincha that the kohen scoops out and then burns on a mezeach, v'halavoina, and the lavoina, the frankincense that's placed on a kohen mincha. Some of the other Rishonim say instead the lavoina can also mean over here the lavoina that's brought together with the lechem aponim every Shabbos. Every year you have it throughout. It's also incense. It's the same stuff, frankincense. Yeah,
but it's for different
it's for different things. So the Lavoina, Rashi is talking about Lavoina in terms of whenever an individual brings a Kohen Mincha, it's flour mixed with oil, and then Lavoina is sprinkled on top of it. And then when the Kohen... In English it's called frankincense. It's a whitish sap from some tree or whatever. It comes in little granules. It comes in little grain-sized pieces and whatever. So what they do is they sprinkle that over the mincha. Then afterwards, when the Kohen takes the mincha and places it in a Kli Shoreis, after that what he does is he moves the Lavoina over to the side. He does the Kmitzah. Then he scoops up all the Lavoina and puts it together with the Kohen and takes all that and burns it on the Mubeh. And the rest of the mincha, the Kohen, I mean. So that's Lavoina. And then again, also you have there's two spoonfuls of lavoina that go together with the lechem apanim. Lechem apanim is placed on the shulchan on Shabbos together with two spoonfuls of lavoina. They remain there for a whole week. This is a rare example of something that's not possible by Lina because it stays there for an entire week.
Yeah, it's a custom.
There's a custom, yeah. At the next Shabbos, you take the spoonfuls of lavoina and burn them on the mizbeach, and the lechem apanim is distributed among the kohenim and they eat it. So the Mishnah says hakoymitz v'halavoina v'haktoras as well as toras uminchas, which is what the key thing we're dealing with over here, uminchas kohenim as well as the mincha that is brought by a kohen, where there's no kmitza done from it, the whole thing is burnt on the mizbeach as is. Uminchas kohen mashuach as well as the mincha that is brought by the kohen mashuach, by the kohen gadol, namely this is the chavitim of the kohen gadol. That the chavitim is a special korban mincha that the kohen gadol brings every day, where half of it is brought in the morning and half of it is with the korban with the tamid shal shachar, and the other half in the afternoon with the tamid shal ben abai. It's a korban mincha. Basically, flour and oil, like any other one, but it's made a little bit differently. It's fried a little bit, and it's baked a little bit, whatever. We'll learn the details about it in Menachos. The pasuk describes it in Parshat Tzav. A regular Kohen brings such a mincha the first time he does the avodah. It's called a mincha chinuch. And the Kohen Gadol brings the same thing every day, except he brings it half in the morning and half in the evening. Anyway, so that's mincha Kohen Gadol, mincha Kohen Mashurach, or mincha Nesachim, and the menachos that are brought as part of Nesachim with most korbanos. All of those things. So that's most korbanos, for example, an oila, shlamim, etc. Together with the korban, you also bring along with them a certain amount of flour and oil and a certain amount of wine, which are burnt and poured respectively on the mizbeach. By korbanos tzibur, it's mentioned in parshas Pinchas when we lay in on Yom Tov, each of the korbanos of Yom Tov, and we say them in Shemoneh Esrei, we always have them in Chosam and Eskeim Kumaduba, Shloisha Eser and Laporo, Shnei Eser and Laoyol, etc. That's the Minchas Mazafim. And for a private person's korban, you have the same thing also. It's described in Parshas Shlach.
And it's called
Minchas Nesach.
Also.
Yeah. So all those things that are listed in this Mishnah, Moilim Behem Mishaluk Kishu, all of them, Ne'ilah applies to them once they became Kodesh, even they have Kedushas Domim only, Kodshavakli, and each of these things, when it's placed in a Flisharis, Hukshur will be possible to Voyoim, they become Kosher completely, they become now Kedushas in that now they're possible if a Tvulyoim touches them, or if a Mechosikiporim touches them, or Lina, or by being left overnight. Therefore, contributely ain like contributely like. So we see clearly in this Mishnah, we have Keturas listed over here, and we're saying only once it's placed in the Kli Sharis is it that if Tavuyoim touches it, it becomes possible, and it's possible by Lina, implying up until that point, no. So therefore, as long as it's in the Machteshes, it's not possible by Lina. So you see. So obviously, it can have Keturas like Ruf when it's in the Machteshes, otherwise it would be possible by Lina. That's what we're arguing. Then why is it becoming possible? Why is it becoming possible in the Machteshes by a Tvulyoim? That's what we have to figure out. The Machteshes is a mortar where they ground up the spices for the Keturas. That, Rashi said at the beginning of the sugya, is not a Kli Sharis.
Right.
So the Keturas being in that does not yet give it, on the face of it, doesn't yet give it Kedusha Sagul. But we seem to be having a contradiction, because on the one hand we're saying once it's in that Machteshes, then if a Tvulyoim touches it, he makes it possible. On the other hand, we're saying that it's not possible by Lina until it's placed in an actual Kli Sharis, the actual spoon that you're going to place it into to bring on the Mizbeach that day, on the Mizbeach HaZahav that day.
That's the only point we could start from the coming possible, where we're saying
Lina will make it possible. So that's the question, yeah. By the way, Rashi points out, we had before, we mentioned, we started by quoting a Mishnah that gives all these details about Menachos. Then we have this other Mishnah that mentions about the Koimitz and Mulvina, etc., why they split up into two groups. Rashi says, as far as the dinim that we're dealing with in the Gemara over here, it's true, there's no difference between them. They might as well have all been combined into one group. The difference is, the Mishnayos over there in Me'ilah talk about other differences that are dinim that are different between a Mincha on the one hand and all these other ones in the second Mishnah on the other. That's why they're in two different Mishnahs. For purposes of our Gemara, though, they all have the same deal. Anyway, so the point is that the point is therefore that you. So obviously, then the Keturas evidently does not have Kedushas Aguf when it's in the Machtesh. It's only Kedushas Domim. So in that case, then of course there's no problem to sell it to sell the remainder of it to the Umnin and buy it back from them, etc. How are you trying to bring a proof from that to the case? We have leftover animals which are actual korbanos, which have Kedushas Aguf, would you want to go and sell at the end of the year and buy back? How are you able to do that? Amalei, so Rabbah answers him, Lina Kamrit. What, you're trying to bring a proof from the fact that Lina doesn't apply to them. Shiny Keteris, it's different. Like Keteris, Ho over Tzurasa, because Keteris keeps its same form throughout the year. Meaning, in other words, like this. It is true, Rabbah is arguing, the point is like this. Usually we say, carbonic, the animals don't become possible by Lina either. But for example, let's say again, a korban mincha, let's say, a korban once shechted or whatever, many things that are brought on the Mizbeach become possible by Lina. They become possible if they're left overnight. Once they're placed in a Kli Shoris, if they're left overnight. Why is that? Because their form changes. They start spoiling or whatever. Therefore, there is a difference. Therefore, there is a difference. Once Lina happens to them, then we have, therefore, they become possible. Keteris, it looks the same at the beginning of the year as it does at the end of the year. Therefore, there's no reason to pass over. Why should the shape change? Keteris is a powder. Why would it change shape? It's a powder. It's ground up spices.
Oh, that's what you're saying.
Yeah, it's a bunch of ground up spices. So it looks exactly the same one day as the next. So even though it has kedushas haguf, there's a special rule that Lina doesn't make it possible. So Rashi points out when it comes to kodesh b'kli, once it was placed in an actual kli shoreid, fine. Minatoda, there still shouldn't be an issue of lina with it. Same idea. There already the rabbanon make a rule that say that you might think to say if Keteris is kosher overnight once it was placed in a kli shoreid, maybe the same should be true of other things like menachos or whatever. And we can't do that because those would be possible daraisa. Therefore, when rabbanon, fine, we pass a Keteris in such a scenario.
But really,
Keteris shouldn't become possible by Luna. And the Ramban, in fact, adds a detail to this, to what Rashi is saying, which is many kinds of different things are placed in a Kli Shoreis. Keteris is placed in them, a mincha is placed in them, blood is placed in them, etc. Therefore, it is very easy to confuse one with the other and to think if one of them is kosher after being left overnight and other ones might be also. Nothing else is ever placed in the Machteshes. The Machteshes, the mortar that's used over there to grind up the Keteris, nothing else is ever placed in it. There's no reason to fear that if you leave the Keteris in it, that people are going to get confused. Right. Right.
But
yeah.
The Kodesh that you leave overnight, it becomes pasul, and yet the form doesn't change.
No, but it can. For example, Mincha is going to look different. It's going to be a little spoiled the next day or whatever. In fact, a very common expression, we have an expression in many places in Shas, when you have, sometimes you have a korban which is sort of only like semi-pasul. So it's not completely possible enough that you should take it and burn it outside the Azorah in the Harabais, but it's not kosher enough to offer either.
And that's fresh, like,
not quite. It wasn't fresh, but you have certain corner cases over there involving korbanos where there's some kind of problem with it, which isn't enough to say that it should be taken out and burnt. But it's not. But on the other hand, it's not kosher enough to be brought as a korban. In such cases, the expression we say is tu'ubar tzurasai. Its form should change, and once its form changes, it's taken out to the Beis HaTzureis to be burnt. What does its form changes? Basically, it means it's left overnight, left as Lina, and then for sure it's 100% possible because it became possible by Lina. But also, Tu'uba Tzurasa also has a meaning, it starts spoiling, basically. So that's the idea. Things start spoiling overnight.
Yeah, that's the idea, yeah. But what makes it possible? Not the fact that it's...
Not per se the fact that it's spoiling, right. I mean, if you put it in a refrigerator, the same thing would apply.
Right.
Ultimately, it's Xeris HaKosis. But why is it? What's the logical reason behind why Lina passes things? Because they tend to change their shape, they tend to change their form or their texture or whatever. Keteris isn't like that. Therefore, the whole concept doesn't apply to Keteris. Maybe that's also, by the way, I was mentioning before that the Lechem HaPanim on the Shulchan, Lina doesn't apply to it either because left on the Shulchan each time... Maybe the same kind of thing. We know the famous thing with the Lechem HaPanim, a nest happened to it, and it was hot. It was hot a week later, just like when they first bathed it. So maybe it's the same idea. There's no Ibrut Surah. There's no change of Surah between Shabbos and Shabbos. That's because of that. Therefore,
if you put hot spices one Shabbos, and you wait until Shabbos, they're going to be cold. They're not
good. No, but then we're not talking about the Levoina wasn't placed on their hot. The Lechem HaPanim was placed on their hot, and it was still hot for Derech Nes a week later. Okay. Anyway, so that's Tzurasa b'chol hashana kula. Okay, Tosfos learns a little differently. Tzurasa b'chol hashana kula means that l'chatchila, the mitzvah in the Torah, is to prepare a whole year's supply of Torah for the beginning. Therefore, you can't say the same Torah that's telling you to prepare a whole year's supply of it is not going to tell you that it becomes possible by Lina, because then the two things wouldn't contradict. So Torah is a special case. In which case, I guess Tosfos might understand that the same thing with the Lacham Aponim. It's a special case. The same Torah that tells us that you place it on the Shulchan from Shabbos to Shabbos is saying, therefore, that we can't apply Luna to it. That the Luna doesn't apply to it during that week. I'm saying Rashi's explanation of Hayol Tzurasa would fit with the idea because the Lacham Aponim stays fresh. Tosfos' understanding of Tzurasa b'chol Hashana, that the Gzeres HaKotev is to make a whole year's supply of Torahs at once. Well, then, there is a cost of it to leave the lachem upon him on the shulchan for a whole week. Okay. Anyway, so the bottom line is as follows. We're left with as follows. Basically, Ketoras does have Kedushas HaGuf once it's in the Machteshes. That is, once it's in the mortar, once it's ground up. That is why we said at the top of the Amud, once a Tzvul Yoyim touches it at that point, it will become possible, which is a concept that only applies to things that have Kedushas HaGuf. What about the fact that Luna doesn't apply to it? Fine, that's a special case in the case of Torah.
So, wait a minute. When it says in the Machteshet, it has
Kedushas HaGuf. That's what we're saying at that point. Rav Chisda had wanted to argue that it didn't. Rav Chisda had wanted to argue there's a difference between animals for Korbanos and the Ketoras. One has Kedushas HaGuf, one has Kedushas Damim.
Right.
Therefore, yes, you can take the Ketoras and sell it to the and trade it to the Umnin for their schar and then buy it back from them, etc. Whereas you can't do that with animals for Korbanos. Rabbi is quoting Rabbi Yochanan as saying that you can in the case of animals because you're worried about Kedusha Shalahem Lahechem Hocha. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Even though they have Kedusha Shalahem, it's different with Korbanos Tzibur.
So we have to conclude that the fact that it becomes possible is because it has Shalahem.
That's what we're saying. Ultimately, we have to come down to that. It couldn't possibly be that it has only Kedushas Damim and would become possible with the Tevul Yoyim, because we know from the first Mishnah that we quoted about Menachas that it doesn't work that way. Something that only has Kedushas Damim, even if eventually it's going to have Kedushas Aguf, won't become possible with the Tevul Yoyim until it actually gains Kedushas Aguf.
And since this...
Since this becomes possible with the Tevul Yoyim once it's in the Machteshes, obviously it has Kedushas Aguf at that point. Are you asking the fact that it doesn't apply to it? Okay, Ketoras is a special case. Luna doesn't apply to it until it's in a Kli Shoras, and even that only Midrash.
So even Machteshes is not a Kli Shoras.
Even though, so we're going to say now that Machteshes is a Kli Shoras. The Machteshes is a Kli Shoras, but nevertheless, because again, like the Ramban is saying, it's used only for Ketoras, nothing else. Therefore, there's no reason to make a Gzera that you'll confuse it with anything else.
Right.
And therefore Lina does not apply to Ketoras while it's in the Machteshes. Only once it's in a regular Kli Shoras.
So we're going to say that Machteshes is a Kli Shoras.
So we're going to say now that Machteshes is a Kli Shoras.
Otherwise, we can explain it.
Okay. Tosfos, by the way, points out an interesting thing. We have a din that the Gemara mentions in Zvachim that if a Kli Shoras breaks, the din is you don't fix it because it's called Einam Nius B'Makom Ashiros. We don't act in a poor way in the place of riches, which is the Beis Mikdash. So Liya Kesef Liya Zav, the Eidush owns all the gold and silver in the world. We don't have to be like in the Beis Mikdash. We have to economize. Instead, what we do is we melt it down and make a new one out of the metal. So the question is, Tosfos brings an interesting story from Erchin that one time they had the Machteshes that they used for making Ketoras. One time it developed, it got nicked or broken or whatever, and they fixed it. They brought craftsmen from Alexandria to fix it, only it wasn't doing a good job as it was before. Took away the fixed part, and then it turned the Gemara mentions over there, this Machteshes had actually come down all the way from Moshe Rabbeinu's time. Moshe Rabbeinu used it to prepare the original Ketoras in the Midbar, and now they still had it hundreds of years later. So what happened was they had to take off the part that was repaired and leave the original Machteshes as Moshe made it. It has a nick or a hole or whatever. Okay, we'll have to work around that. But you don't tamper with what Moshe did. The point is, if it's a Kli Shoras, how do you fix it? So Tosfos says that the difference is in this case because it was the one that Moshe made and it was extra good. They're not going to say ain't unused in the Machom Ashir. It's not a question of economizing. It's a question of you want it to preserve. You want it to be using the Machteshes of Moshe himself. Okay, Tosfos gives a different answer also, that maybe after all, Lamaskana was saying, maybe Tosfos says the Machteshes after all is not really a Kli Shoras, but just verbally saying this is Ketoras, that's enough to give it to Kedushas HaGuf. Okay, be that as it may, Mekol Mokom, getting back to just because you say so, yeah, you say this, well, yeah, okay. And Tosfos says it's not no different than an animal. An animal does not be placed in a Kli Shoras either. You verbally say this animal will be an Ola and it's an Ola. It has Kedushas HaGuf. Fine. Getting back to the Gemara, Mekol Makom Kasha. So after all, then you're left with the question. It's fine. You're going to say that the Keturah and the animals both are Pirusha. Fine. But then you still have the Pirusha had a valid point. Pirusha Shabbat and Ma'ayat and Hoka. Fine. But the bottom line is, where did the Pirusha go? How are you able to take an animal that is a Tomim and be Purdah, or take Keturah, which has Pirusha Shabbat, and could have been brought and be and be Purdah? You're not allowed to do that with animals of Kodshim of Yechidim. Why should Kovanas of Tzibur be any different? Rambah, so Rambah says, because here we have a special case. Because it's something belongs to the Tzibur, lev based in Masna Lehem. The heart, meaning the thoughts of Basin, make a Tnaya on them. When they are bought to begin with, Basin has in mind that only the ones that are actually going to be needed for this coming year are going to have Kedushas Agus. So when it comes to things of a Yachid, you don't have that. So unless you yourself mostly make a Tnai. Like this, when it comes to Kovanas Tzibur, Basin is able to make such a Tnai to begin with when they buy it. Because we didn't know that. Now we're bringing up that point.
When they receive it,
on Rosh Chodesh Nissan or whenever it is, when they go and buy the animals that they're going to need for Tmidim for the next year or whatever else they're buying, they're going to Bachachila. They make a Tanai at the time. Whichever ones we're going to need by up till and including Chaptes Adar are being given Kedusha now. Whichever ones we're buying now, only that they're only going to be used after next Rosh Chodesh Nissan, we're not yet giving them Kedusha. Therefore, we have no problem. They say like this: if they're needed, then they're needed. We'll use them for the karbanis. And if not, then we will use them for their mud, for their value. We'll sell them, and we'll use them, and we'll sell them, and we'll be paid to them, and we'll use the value of them to buy new ones, or not to buy new ones, but to rebuy them back using. We'll rebuy them back for their value using the new year's money. By the way, this concept of lay based in Masna Lehem comes up. And again, nowadays, to halacha also, the Truma Sadeshin talks about an interesting point. The Gemara tells us in Megillah that, for example, a bimo that you lay in the Sefer Torah on, you're not allowed to use for any other purpose because it has a kedusha related to the kedusha of the Sefer Torah. Therefore, you shouldn't be allowed to do anything else with it. Yet we see nowadays, everybody puts sforim on them, we lean on them, we put flyers on them, whatever. What happened? Lay base in Masna Lehem. Not necessarily, it doesn't have to be, and the Shulchan Aruch actually says, he goes on to say, maybe it doesn't necessarily mean that the based in of the community explicitly has to make such a tonight. Maybe it's implied when the shul is first built. However, he still says it seems a little questionable. And in fact, the Magen Avraham says based on that, it would be better to tackle when a shul is it's impossible practically speaking. The Truma Sadeshin himself says we have so many Sifrei Torah, we have we have so many Svarim, it's impossible not to stack things on the bima. So the Magen Avraham says practically speaking, what you should really do is when you're designating a new shul or a new bima or whatever, you should explicitly make a Tanai. We're not giving this bima the full kedusha that it should have. We're leaving it open that can be used for other purposes, such as piling sparring on it or whatever. So that's an example where Lev based in Masna Lehem is again nowadays as well. Okay. Abaye says, "V'hamarhu d'omar," but didn't you yourself say, Rabba, "Hikdish zocher l'domar," that if a person is makdish a zocher, meaning a ram, for its value. So let's say he takes a ram, which could have been brought as an oiler or shlomim or what have you, and instead he designates it as kodesh bedek abayis, as just kedushas domim. Doesn't work. Kodesh kedushas domim. That animal still has kedushas domim. And therefore you're not able to sell it because it itself is capable of being brought to the carbon.
So if you gave it
You gave it kedushas domim, it doesn't matter. We override that and say, nevertheless, we know hello? Overrides it and say, never mind what you said, it's only Kedusha Summon. It has Kedusha Zagul. You are not allowed to sell it. You have to bring it to the carbon, unless it develops a mum, of course. So what good does Leif Basin do? As soon as they're going to say we're buying a couple of hundred animals over here and we're having in mind that whichever ones aren't needed by Rosh Chodesh Nissan should only have Kedusha Summon. Doesn't work. The answer is like Kasha. Hoda Amaladmei Ola Hoda Amaladmei Nisachim. Yes, but there's no problem because there's a difference between whether he said that I'm being makdish this animal for the value of an oila, meaning that I'm taking this ram is worth $1,000. I am makdish it that it will be sold for $1,000 and the money will be used to buy another animal for an oila. That doesn't work. It itself becomes an oila. Hadamalid may nesachin versus what if the person says I'm makdish this animal, this $1,000 animal, that the $1,000 that it's sold for should be sold and used to buy nesachin for the mizbeach. Now, an animal can't be nesachin. Nesachin consists of flour and wine and oil. That kind of thing does work. So therefore, by the same, that kind of thing does work. That to say that. So if a person were to say that, he's makdish this animal for its dummim, where the dummim is going to be used for Dmei Nesachim, such a thing would work. It does, in fact, only get Kedushas dummim in that case.
That's the only time when it
That's
works.
The only time. Well, very well then. That's what Beis Din does. Beis Din doesn't just say it should. Beis Din doesn't say it should be for Dmeihen. They specify that it should be for Dmei Nesachim, and that works.
So, only in the case of Nesachim it works.
Well, Nesachim or anything, yeah. I imagine it would be anything else. I imagine it would be other things other than Nesachim also. I mean, I imagine by the same logic you could do for Dmei Levoino or Dmei Eitzim or whatever. The point is something that's offered on the Mizbeach, but which
but
the animal
an
animal itself, but the animal itself can't be used for that purpose.
Right.
However, Abaya says, okay, but I have a contradiction on the basis of a Mishnah that says as follows. Now, here's where we start getting to closer to what we talked in our Mishnah, but not yet. We're not going to quote the actual case of our Mishnah yet. That's going to come later. But you have the power or the sur of Yom Kippur. And here we're talking about the power and the sar. When we say power of the sar shi'am purim, we mean, without specifying, we mean the ones whose blood is brought into the Kodesh and into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The ones that are unique to Yom Kippur, not the ones that, the b'fnim, right. The power of b'fnim and the sar of b'fnim, right. Sha'avu, if they got lost, v'hir for shachem dachrim, and you designated a different animal instead of them, or similarly, you can have a case. You have the tzibur has to bring goats for a korban chatos for having mistakenly worshipped avodazara, which we're going to learn about in Horius in a few months' time. Bez Hashem, you have the case where based in mistakenly paskin that a certain type of avodazara is mutter, and most of the people follow that.
By mistake.
Then when the mistake is realized, then the tzibur brings a korban. That's when we say every day in davening, parim anisrofim, with seirim anisrofim, this is what we mean by seirim anisrofim.
A mistake.
We're basically made a mistake in connection with avodah zarah.
It's a chata.
Yeah, it's a chatas, but again, it's a chatas apnimi. It's the type of, the blood of it is brought into the Kurdish, not the Kurdish HaKadoshim, that's unique to Yom Kippur, but it's brought into the Kurdish and sprinkled in front of the parochas. And then afterwards, just in front of the, on the parochas, just the parochas. Also in the Zeh HaZeh, but say every day in davening, the Daman Tohon HaZeh, Allah Parochas, Vamiz Bahazel, but not inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, that's only Yom Kippur. Then afterwards, the rest of the blood is poured on the base of the Mizbeach, and the whole animal fat and meat and all is taken outside of your Yerushalayim. Anyway, so suppose that animal got lost, the Hifr Shachayim Dachsein, and he designated a different animal to replace it. But now what happens when the original animal turns up? Kulon Yomutu, Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda says, in all those cases, the original animal has to be left to die because it's considered like a, it's considered, now the point is, it actually says like this.
We don't kill them, though.
We don't kill them because they fart our kodshim. They are kodshim, so we can't kill them outright, but Yomutu, we leave them, we lock them up in a room, yeah.
What's the case we lock them? I remember when it was.
So this is one of those cases. We also had a case at the end of Sanhedrin involving Kodshim that were, you know, that were in an Irani Dachas.
Yeah. What was this case?
This case of the heroes we're talking about. Let's say, so you have the power of Yom Kippur,
right.
That it was lost before they could actually shecht it.
And then you
took a different animal and brought it. Now, later on, it turned up. So this is an example. The point is, Rashi says like this. The problem is, in this case, it's the equivalent. It's called chatas shekipru ba'alev. You have a case which we'll learn about eventually in the Masechta Tmura. You have the halacha mishnah saying there's five types of chatos hamesos. One of them is chatas shekipru ba'alev, where the owner already had his kapara using some other animal. So in other words, if you had a similar scenario with a private person, then everybody agrees that a private person has to bring chatas. He designated an animal for it. It got lost. He brought a different one. Later on, the original one turns up. That's a chatas hamesa. Rabbi Yehuda is
wrong.
You lock it up, right?
You never use it for another.
You can't
carbon.
Use it for another carbon. Exactly. Anything. Nope. So Rashi explains over here. The verse is like this: when it comes to the ones that we learned about in our Mishnah that we mentioned, for example, that they asked Shimon, what about the chatas achitza of Yom Kippur was lost and you found it before Sukkot? Can you use it on Sukkot? And he says yes. The difference is that the difference is fine. It's available. A chatas achitzen is a chatas achitzen. It can be used the next Yom Tov or the next Rosh Chodesh or whatever. Here, when are you going to be able to use this next one? Next Yom Kippur. next Yom Kippur is already a new fiscal year in the Beis Hamikdash. The fiscal year in the Beis Hamikdash runs from Rosh Chodesh Nissan to Rosh Chodesh Nissan. You bought it with last year's money. You can't use a korban from last year's money this year. So therefore, it has to be left to die.
Why do you have to lock it up? Just leave it die.
Okay. The Tosfos actually points out that the Gemara actually in Yuma explains it's not. That's not really the reason, because to be evident, you would be allowed to use a korban from last year's money if you had to. That's not a valid enough reason to let it die. No, rather Tosfos says it's Midrash Rabbanan. The reason is that the Chachamim were afraid it's kollel. If you leave the animal to graze or whatever, and let's save it for next year, the problem is, meanwhile, somebody may come to misuse it. They're going to forget.
Put it in a room and then somebody just feed it, and nobody can do it.
A large animal without power. Sorry, you're not going to be able to do like that for a whole year. So, yeah.
You say they didn't have a designated area for that. So
apparently not. Anyway. Okay, so wait, that's Rabbi Hoyt. But the point is, in other words, you could argue that it's not chafas your kibbutz balei because next year we're going to need the same korban again. It's different with a chafas. No. Because when it comes to a classic chafas shemaytu balei, for example, let's say a person just separated out a chafas because he broke Shabbos or whatever, fine. That's it. Once he has his kapara, hopefully it's never going to happen again. And even if it does, it's a completely different chiyuv. Here, every year there is a chiyuv to bring the tzar on Yom Kippur. You can't say that they were kippur for all time. But the fact is, next year, it's going to be a new fiscal year. Or, according to Tosfos, you have the problem of Chakola. Whatever. So Rabbi Yehuda says you have to leave it at Chatzos Hametz. Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, whereas Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon say no. They say that Yiru Abshi Yistavu, what you do is you leave these animals to graze until they develop a mum, V'yimakru, then we sell the animal, V'yiplo the demand in the Nadava, and then we take the money and put it into one of the Nadava boxes in the Beis Hamikdash, which eventually the Nadava boxes are used to buy what's called Kayitza Mizbeach, which are used to buy Korbanos Ola for slack times when not many Korbanos are being brought. You bring Korbanos to keep the Mizbeach, to keep things going on the Mizbeach, to keep the Kohenim busy, basically. They say because this whole concept of chatoris and mesis only applies to a chatos yochid. It does not apply to a korban sibur. A korban sibur is never one of the chatoris and mesis, they say.
Reb Shimon
and Reb Elazar say that. Rashi says, we'll learn in Horius and we'll learn in Tzmura why indeed they hold that way. Now, the question is, according to Rabbi Yehuda, v'amai, why should we say, or for that matter, according to all of them, why should we say, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that these animals have to be left to die, or according to Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, that we have to leave them until they develop a mum? If we're saying lema lay based in masna lam, why don't we just say lachatzila? Based in has in mind when they're first bought these animals that if they should get lost, they shouldn't have had retroactively. They shouldn't have had their kedusha, and then no problem. They can be like any animal of chulin, and we can buy them back from hektish, and then reuse them next year or whatever. The answer is avudin kamrit. You're trying to bring a question from a case where they got lost. Shani avudin deleshchichi. It's different when they get lost. Such a thing is not common enough. So Beis Din doesn't concern themselves with making a tenai for that. Something where we buy a bunch of animals and we know inevitably there are going to be some left over next year Rosh Chodesh Nissan, that they'll make a tenai for. Same thing with turtle. But to say to make a tenai in case this animal gets lost, that we should do that, they're not going to do that. They could, but they're not going to. They're not going to. Okay, the question is, especially the fortune explained, the vote is that these are rare korbanos. I mean, the korbanos of Yom Kippur, the korbanos of Avodah Zarah can be even rarer. We expect that people are going to pay attention to them. We expect that people are going to take care of them and not just let them wander off. The Beis Din has no reason to think that it should be necessary to make such a tenai about it.
That's right.
Yeah.
Who says that?
I don't remember who said that, but yeah. Okay. Fine. The question is, Harry Parad Lishkicha. Fine. What about the case, though, of the Paradruma? A Paradruma is a very rare thing. As Rashi says, we know that throughout the entire first and second Beis Hamikdash, only 7 or 9, according to different opinions, Paradrumas were made. Hold on. We're going to see an example of Lev Beis Masna Lein involving the Paradruma. Tosfos explains the question a little bit differently. The question is, rather, we're going to say in a few lines in the Gemara that you can have a case where you had a paradruma, and then at some point before you shechted it or before you sprinkled the blood or whatever of it, you found a better animal for a paradruma. After all, I mean, you know, basically any animal, you know, as long as it fits the criteria, paradruma, tmima, etc., is kosher. But of course, you try to find the best quality one, same as with any other carbon.
So let's say you have.
So let's say you found one, and then later on you found another one, a nicer one.
Right.
Then you're able to be part of the first one. That Tosfos says is the point of the Gemara's question. It's very rare. A parah druma is rare enough as is that you should have one all ready to go, and then you find a nicer one and want to be part of it. It is really uncommon. And yet we see that it works because you're able to do it, as we're going to discuss. The Tanya, because we learn in a
Braise. It works because of Beis
Din. No, because Leib Beis Din Masna, that's the question. And what you're telling me, Leib Beis Din is going to be Masna on such a rare case as involving Parah Adruma at all, or involving a Parah Adruma being replaced by another one, why shouldn't they make a Tanai about a case where the Korbanos got lost? Sorry, Parah the Lishchecha, the Parah is not very common. The Tanya, and yet we learn in a Braise, Parah Niftes Akop Psul Shaba, the Parah Adruma can be redeemed for any kind of Psul that happens, so whatever, anything that makes it possible, you can redeem it. And meaning, in other words, not just to develop some mum, like regular Korbanos, but also, for example, develops black hair or whatever.
Can I take that?
Hold on. No, the point, we're going to talk about Mosa Acheres, that's the key thing we're talking about. We're quoting the whole Braise. If the Parah Adruma dies before they had a chance to shecht it, then also you can redeem it, which the Gemara is going to take up later with what purpose are you redeeming it for. Even if it was shechted, but in the wrong place, because it had to be shechted on Harazesim directly opposite the Beis Hamikdash. So if they shechted it someplace else, also you can be part of it. And Mosa Acheres,
you could shecht it now, even though there's over there, you could.
No, I don't know if the area where they, I don't know if the specific area where they did the Parah Adruma is part that had the quarters, I don't know. But whatever it is, I mean, when Mashiach comes, they're going to see where they're going to find the original area and start and do it again. Yeah, so the Rambam comes back, Mashiach is going to supervise the bringing of the 10th Parah Adruma. Yeah. Mosa Acheres Nahinana, if you found a nicer animal to replace the original one, also Tipodah, then also you can be Poder the original one in favor of the second one. However, Shokta, Agari Marakta, however, once you shechted the Parah Adruma on its pile, meaning they have a pile of wood over there in the designated area where it was supposed to be shechted, once it was shechted there, and the Pialamas, then you can't be Poder. Because once it was shechted in its proper place, then already you actually said it would be a gnai to be poided and make it become cool.
But until then they could.
Until then they could. So the question is, so that's the question. You're telling me that evidently Leib Beis Din Masna, because you're telling me we have the parah, and yet you're able to replace it with a different one, or you're able to be poided when it was shechted elsewhere or whatever. So we're saying Leib Beis Din Masna. So they obviously take into consideration even a rare case like that. Why shouldn't they take into consideration the case involving the animals getting involving the carbonates getting lost? The answer is shiny part of the kodesh bedek abayis. See, the answer is the Parah Adruma is different. It's not kedusha zaguf really. It's kodesh bedek abayis. It's not something that's ever brought on the mizbeach. So therefore, well, you don't need leib beis din masna lein. Leib beis din masna lein is needed for something which is going to be brought on the mizbeach, and you want to make that it shouldn't have kedusha zaguf in the first place. Here it doesn't have kedusha zaguf in the first place. It has kedusha zaming. It was bought. Yeah, it was bought with funds from Bedek Abayis. Why should that have Kedusha Zaguf? It's not brought on a Zayach. Only something that's brought on a Zayach has Kedusha Zaguf.
It's Matar, the Odri.
Doesn't matter. That's the one that has Kedusha Zaguf.
That's Allah.
Yeah. However, Ihochi Meso Nishcha Tepipada, in that case, what do you mean? We're saying, though, that if it died or it was shechted, we're able to repoid it. If it's Kodshe Bedek Abayis, Hobbit in Hamad Ma'arah. The din is the Torah tells us in Parashas Bukhoisai that if you makdish an animal, for Bedek Abayis, or let's say you makdish it as a korban but it develops more and more, whatever. The point is now it only has kedusha zamin. You have to have what's called hamadah v'harocha. You have to have the animal to stand on its feet, and the korban has to be able to evaluate its value, and then you pay that amount to hekdish, etc. Here it's dead. You can't do that. There's no hamadah v'harocha. How are you able to deploy it? So if you say Leib Beis Din Masna, okay, so you say it didn't have any kedusha in the first place, so therefore it doesn't matter. But if you're going to tell me now that kodesh bedek abayis is kedusha zamin, then it needs hamad of haracha. The answer is hamani of shimon. Yes, but our braisa that we're talking about can be going according to the shimon. He says this whole concept of hamad of haracha that you have to stand up the animal and carry it out to evaluate it only applies to kodesh mizbeach that developed the mum. But Kodesh Bedek Abayis, he says, that whole concept doesn't apply to Kodesh Bedek Abayis. very well, the parah is contributed to bais, doesn't need hamod of harach.
Other
Tanaim would disagree, but Rav Shimon can, or bais, it can be, or bais, that we're saying that the parah dhamma can be redeemed when it died or was shechted or what have you, that could be going, according to Rav Shimon. Question is, Rav Shimon, but if you're going to say that the bright, it goes according to Rav Shimon, aim a sefer, look at the next part of it. We said, shoktar gavim ha'aracha, we said, once you shechted it on its pile of wood, in its proper place, aim a kdiya ilamis, and we say it can never be redeemed, why not? According to Rav Shimon, it should be able to be. Nishkotar gavim, shoktar gavim ha'aracha, yeah. Vatani, Rav Shimon, we learn in a bright, that Rav Shimon says, pora mitama tumas open, the pora druma is able to, once it's shechted, that is able to become tome just like regular food. Now, on the face of it, the parah adumah should be considered isurei hanah. It should be you're not allowed to have hanah from it once it's shafted. And Reb Shimon holds that tumas ochen only applies to food that you're allowed to eat and you're allowed to feed other people. Nevertheless, it becomes tomei as tumas ochen. Rashi gives an example. Let's say, for example, so a sheret touches the dead part, the shafted parah adumah. Afterwards, some of the meat of that paradum, which became tummy from the sheriff, touched some other food, it'll make that food tummy, says the Rishimen. Even though usually the paradum should not be, on the face of it, it shouldn't be considered food, because it's also about now, but in this case, it's different. Because it had a shasa kosher, because it had a period of time when it was still kosher, when it was still able to be used for food. But Amr Shlokish and Rish Lakish says, what shasa kosher? What period of time was there when it still would have been mutter b'hana? Oymer hoy Rav Shimon, that Rav Shimon used to say, pora niftas agav ma'arachta. That Rav Shimon says, the pora can actually still be redeemed, even if it was shechted in its proper place. If you found the nicer animal, even after it was shechted, as long as the blood was sprinkled. Yeah, once the blood was sprinkled, even Rav Shimon agrees it's too late. But Rav Shimon would say that if you found the nicer animal, it means that this parah adumah was eventually going to be nifta, it was going to be exchanged, it was going to be bought, redeemed, and then the money taken and used to buy this new animal. Therefore, he holds it's considered as if it was already redeemed. Therefore, it's considered mutar b'hana, the parah adumah, because it could have had shasa kosher. It had shasa kosher, namely there was the capability that there would have been another nicer animal that they would be paid to this one. So therefore, so Rav Shimon holds you can be parded after it was shechted in its proper place. The Braita before said you can't. So it can't be like Rav Shimon. Now, Elishayim parah hoy over demand yikar. No, rather we have to say the difference is, the reason why we're going to say leif based in Masnan, we're going to say that even though it's an uncommon thing, with parah adumah b'chlal is uncommon, and no, it's right. We're going to say the Braita is not like Rav Shimon. So why are we saying, why is Leif based in Masna for a case you replace the part Adrum with the other one? It is a very rare thing, but since the part Adrum is very expensive, based in takes into consideration the fact that you may well find a nicer one and want to replace it with a nicer one. So yes, even though it's a rare thing, they will have sort of thing in mind because it's so expensive. As opposed to say that they should have in mind for a korban that might conceivably get lost, that they don't bother. And therefore, if the korban actually got lost, then we have the machlokas of Rabbi Yehuda versus Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, what to do with it.
That's
the answer. It was because the mayor you korban, therefore they take into consideration the possibility that you might want to replace it. That you might want to get back. Yeah, you might. Now the Gemara is going to continue with the discussion tomorrow that what are you going to be paid there for? What exactly are you going to get out of it? At this point, you're not really going to get because the meat of it is going to be awesome. What exactly are you going to get out of it? So we'll deal with that. That's the first thing we'll deal with in the Gemara tomorrow. I want to mention something real quick, by the way. That's Negeya to Hanukkah. We're mentioning over here the concept about that you had a parah adumah, but now you're going to set it aside and replace it with a different one. The Shavuos Yaakov brings up a question about that, and so he doesn't bring up the Gemara, actually, that's Chamtzvi, against him, brings up the Gemara. So the Shavuos Yaakov deals with the question, what if a person was going to be lighting menorah, he didn't have oil available, so he sets up candles. Later on, he manages to get oil, which is a better way to do the mitzvah.
Right.
oil rather than candles. So should he put aside the candles in favor of oil? So the Shavuot Yaakov argues that not. The fact that he designated the candles for the mitzvah, already should use them. Right. The Chacham Tzvi says on the basis of our Gemara, what are you talking about? You see, you can do that. You see the Parah Adroma, you can do that. You have a perfectly good Parah Adroma that maybe has even already been shefted, and you're allowed to be part of it. How much more so with light in it? So the Aruch HaShulchan takes kind of a middle ground between them. He says, it's one thing you made the brachas on it already, then fine, don't replace them. And you didn't make the brachas yet, you just set them up, yes, replace them.
Like shefting and sprinkling.
Yeah, sort of, in that sense, I guess.